So in the last session, we completed the 5 fast action tips to help you develop people more effectively. In this session, we're going to look at the 3 top challenges that leaders experience when developing people and what to do about these challenges. So take a moment right now and download the worksheet for this session and follow along. Over the past 20 years, working with leaders in all types of organizations and many different market segments, we've noticed consistent themes emerging regarding challenges with people and leader development. One leader told me recently that the biggest frustration is that no matter what I do, retention and loyalty from team members seems impossible. When I invest in leadership and team development for them, there are so many companies out there that are looking for good people that my team members often jump into another company when a carrot is dangled in front of them. And so even if I build a strong team-centered environment, it's often still not enough. What do I do? Another leader said recently, "My current biggest challenge is the motivation of longtime team members who have retirement in their sights." And so we identified, along with these and many others, the top 3 challenges that leaders face with developing people. And I want to share them with you in this session, along with some troubleshooting tips to help you to make progress in these areas. The first theme is identification. How do I find the right people to invest in? The first step to identifying the right people to develop is to clearly define your expectations. What type of candidate are you seeking? What type of training or mentoring are you going to provide? And what are the outcomes that you and the candidate should expect? Here are a few questions to consider when deciding who to invest in. The first is, are they teachable? One of my first jobs out of college was working for an electrical corporation in the Washington, D.C. area, where I was the finance manager for this company. And where my office sat in the building was near a warehouse. And in the warehouse, our electricians and contractors would come in the afternoons, and I could often hear them working and talking and working through projects back there. One afternoon, the CEO of the company was out there working with one of them, and they got into a heated discussion, and I could hear almost every word they were saying. And at one point, as the CEO was trying to explain to this contractor how to do something, the contractor yelled back at the CEO and said, "You can't teach me anything that I don't want to know." And I've thought about what he said hundreds of times since this experience nearly 30 years ago. It's one of the most profound things that I've ever heard. And it's so true. You really cannot teach someone something they don't want to know. In fact, there's no reason to try to teach someone who thinks they've already figured it out. It's futile to try to teach someone who thinks that they already know what they need to know. So the question is, does the person that you're considering have a willingness, a demonstrated willingness to learn? Are they teachable? Secondly, are they self-focused? When the primary concern of a person is their needs and their personal advancement, they're going to have a hard time contributing significant value to the success or the well-being of others or to the organization. Invest your time in humble and grateful people. Are they self-focused? Number 3, are they action takers? Look for people that consistently apply what they've been taught. Why take the time to invest in someone that doesn't have a track record of applying what they've learned? Are they action takers? Then number 4, are they willing to invest in other people? A proper candidate to develop shouldn't be a stagnant reservoir of information, but they should be a purveyor of helpful knowledge. Are they already investing in others? And do they have a demonstrated willingness to invest in new people? And then number 5, are they making the most of the resources that they currently have? The best step that you can take is to give people the opportunity to step up, to volunteer, to take on new responsibilities, and then watch what they do with those opportunities. As you identify people to develop, look for the people who are leveraging their current opportunities. There really isn't a reason to keep pouring into someone who isn't using what they already have. So the first challenge was identification. How do I find the right people to invest in? The second challenge that leaders face when developing people is motivation. How do I motivate team members? In today's world, the job of a leader is much more than just providing direction. It's about providing meaning. Henry David Thoreau wrote, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation." Every one of us knows what it's like to struggle with motivation. And yet, real motivation, sustainable motivation, comes from within, a desperation within. No one desires to live a mediocre life or sets out to do mediocre work. What we need to do is to find that spark within people and help them by fanning that flame. Let's face it, we often want more growth for other people than they want for themselves. So when it comes to providing motivation for your people, here are some of the best ways that we've found to provide motivation for your team members. Number one is help them understand why. No one wants to spend the irreplaceable hours of their life doing meaningless tasks. Since nearly all of our work is meaningful, help them to provide clarity about why that work is meaningful and is necessary. Number two, help them to accept ownership. You can motivate them by giving them opportunities for their input early in the process. When an individual has an opportunity to be involved in defining or creating the process or the service or the product, they're far more likely to take responsibility and have a vested interest in its success. Their thought process becomes, I don't want this to fail because now I've had a part in creating it. So help them to take ownership. Number three, measure progress. It's always motivating for you and for the team to realize that you're making progress. So set up checkpoints along the way to recognize small accomplishments, to acknowledge progress. Which brings us to number four, celebrate success. Once one of those milestones is reached, take the time to stop and celebrate it. By celebrating the victory, you're reinforcing the concept that the work being done is meaningful, and you'll get better results as you move forward into the future. So number four, celebrate progress. Then number five, recognition. Be generous with your praise. Take time to recognize those that are performing consistently, whether it's a private recognition or a public recognition. Sometimes something as simple as a timely thank you or a kind word can provide all the motivation that somebody needs to keep going. Then number six, develop positive relationships. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but it's a good thing to remember here as we think about motivating people. People measure their quality of life and fulfillment by the quality of the relationships that they enjoy. When work relationships are positive and uplifting, team members are more likely to take initiative. So develop positive relationships, both with your peers and with those who follow you. Number seven, communicate. In fact, I have written in my notes, communicate, communicate, communicate. Great leaders are always communicating. And then after they communicate, they ask for feedback to ensure that the communication came through clearly. While you may not need somebody to motivate you by telling you how good a job you're doing, everyone's not like you. So communicating with them regularly and seeking their feedback is a critical discipline. It kills motivation for a person to attempt something that they aren't good at, or to be working in an area that's not an area of strength where they can't bring their highest and best to it. Sometimes people are just in the wrong role. So be open, be aware, and be approachable enough to determine if someone is doing a job that they're just not capable of doing well. Make sure they're in the right seat. Then let's move on to the third challenge that many of us have with developing people, and that's retention. How can I retain the people that I develop? Here's something that's interesting that we learned. Rarely has money been the only factor when people consider leaving one job to go to another. But the interesting thing is, if all someone wants is more money, then you have your answer for what it would take to retain them, and you can decide how to proceed with that individual. But for most people, these seven factors for retaining your best people serve as a great guide, and some of the concepts are related to areas that we covered with motivation. However, there's slight differences in how each factor can be applied. So let's take a look at these seven factors for retaining your best people. The first is communication. Again, communication is the key to retention also. And while this is a two-way street, your side as a leader is more important. Establish processes that ensure there are no kinks in the channels of communication. And if you're having trouble with retention, communication is a great place to start when you evaluate your behaviors and your processes and the organization structure. Then number two, connection. There should be no doubt in the mind of those that you lead that you have their best interest at heart, that you are unequivocally for them. Invest in building quality relationships with the leaders and team members that you desire to retain. Connection is critical to retention. Then number three, trust. Trust is the key to any relationship working. When you maintain a high level of trust, you have a greater likelihood of retaining your best people. When trust is broken, it becomes difficult, if not impossible, to retain high performers. Number four is potential. No one likes to feel like they've reached a dead end or they've reached the ceiling of an organization. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to be the CEO or the president, but it does mean that there should always be opportunity for growth. Create a work culture in which team members can bring their highest and best to their work and to their role, and you'll keep them for a long time. Number five is support. Your team members should enjoy supportive work conditions and a positive work environment. Who wants to keep showing up in a sea of negativity? Or who wants to hang around in a place where they feel like they get no support? Whenever and wherever possible, eliminate frustrations. It's great to equip people to handle challenges and problems, but there are times when you need to step in and you should bring support if you want to retain the people that you're developing. Number six is difference. All leaders want to know that they're making a difference, so make sure that you let them know. And yet it's not something that should just be said. It should be measurable. It should be visible. People will generally stay in situations where they know that they are making a difference. So let them know that they're making a difference. Thank them for the difference that they are making. Number seven is affirm value. Let them know how valuable they are. If you want to retain someone, don't ever let them think that they're unimportant or insignificant. Become a student of your team members. Learn how to communicate appreciation to them. If you do, they'll stick around for a long time. And so we've come to the end of Module 2, where we've looked at finding the right tools for developing people around you. We also looked at five fast action tips to help you develop people more effectively, and the three top challenges for developing people around you. If you haven't already, take just a moment to download the worksheet for this session and complete the action steps for this session. In the next session, we're going to move into Module 3, Apply, and we're going to look at how to apply the learning into sustainable life and work habits. So I'll see you in Module 3.